we Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
St. Paul is famous for talking about himself while in chains, while chained in a cell or under house arrest, as a preacher of a gospel that remains unbound. The gospel is not bound, but as we often say in prayer and ask that it would be have free course in the world, sometimes it is through the imprisonment of the apostles that the word gets out, that the gospel continues to be preached in the name of Jesus. There's a story just like that, where imprisonment leads to, well, a release of captives, not just Paul and Silas, but an entire family, the jailer and his family, through the message of the gospel in Acts chapter 16. Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, May the 11th. Pastor Tom Baker joins us. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson on Acts chapter 16. If you have any questions or comments about Paul and Silas in prison, you can give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can send us a tweet at IssuesETC and email talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Tom Baker is a regular guest. He joins us every week to teach a Sunday school lesson. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
What kind of crime had Paul and Silas committed to find themselves chained up, really in stocks, I think, inside a prison cell?
Well, it all started, according to Acts 16, verse 18, because Paul began to be troubled, displeased, offended, worked up. That's what the Greek word means. So you really need to see what was he getting worked up over. And it was about a young woman who had a spirit of divination from the devil. She could tell the future. And she was going around saying, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. Now, Paul got really upset over that, much like Jesus did when the demons used to proclaim him to be the Messiah. He wanted them to be quiet. And so what did Paul do? He relieved her. He saved her. He said, I command you, referring to the demon of divination, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. It came out of her that very hour, and guess what? The owners, who were making a lot of money from her, got really upset, and therefore they had Paul and Silas put in prison.
So he had, in fact, done a good deed in releasing this child from demonic oppression.
Yes. In fact, verse 16 says that she had a spirit of divination and had gained much by fortune-telling. The word divination there is puthon, where we get the word python, you know, that snake. And in fact, it does refer in Greek mythology to the name of the serpent or dragon that dwelt in the region of Pytho, and it guarded the oracle of Delphi, who was later slain by Apollo, that is, the snake was. And the idea of that she had fortune-telling, that Greek word means that she was able to prophesy the future accurately. And this was by the devil himself.
Now, when the owners of this slave girl were robbed of their source of income here,
Yes.
They have Paul and Silas brought before the magistrates. They accuse them of advocating for customs that are unlawful for the Romans. What exactly would they have been referring to?
Well, actually, Christianity wasn't declared legal until the 4th century. So I think one of the themes you can have here, that you can be legal but still be immoral. In other words, you could say the magistrates had the right to put them in jail, although they didn't have the right to beat them, as they later found out they were Romans. But this is really an important point, because in our day and age, a lot of people say, well, how can you Christians be against certain immoral behavior that you think is immoral, like abortion, homosexuality, etc.? The law allows it. Well, that doesn't mean it's moral in God's sight. So I think this is a big opportunity for the Sunday school teachers to begin to show how people can be legal from the point of view of the law of the land, but still be practicing immorality.
They're not just in prison, they're beaten. This is something that Jesus had promised his disciples would experience.
Yes. In fact, it just so happened in today's Law and Gospel, in the morning hour, I had my good friend Chris Ann on, and we were talking about California. But we used John 17, which says, Jesus is talking, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask, he's praying to the Father, that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Now, I'll tell you, the Growing in Christ series, particularly in the Family Connection section, has a statement that I think is just so good, and I think ought to be the theme here, that the word of God is more powerful than earthquakes. And we're going to see that in a few moments. But I like to say also that the word of God is more powerful than our experience. Martin Luther had two theologians, the theologian of self-glory and the theologian of the cross. The theologian of glory gets all his information from his experience and therefore ends up with a God of justice. The theologian of the cross gets his information about God from the Bible and therefore sees a God of mercy and grace. And as you go through this, I think this is a great opportunity. This is the second theme, not only legal versus immoral, but don't rely on your experience to decide about God, but rely instead on his holy word. I think that's a big theme for Paul and Silas in prison.
So is this why, when Paul and Silas are in there, bound hand and foot, in the inner prison there, the most secure place they could find to put them, maybe awaiting further punishment, or maybe just left there for an indeterminate amount of time, they're praying and singing hymns to God as midnight rolls around?
Yes. They not only are praying and singing hymns to God, but I think one of the points that we really need to look at is that the other prisoners were hearing them. And that's why I believe that the main jailer, who also heard them, when he found himself in dire straits, because he would have been executed if the prisoners had escaped, he asks about, you know, what he has to do to be saved, because he's been hearing their singing. And who knows how many more people were saved just by the singing. A little while ago on a long gospel theme, I talked about singing sermons. And, of course, the point I was making was normally when you hear a sermon, you don't go home singing it, but you certainly can go home singing the hymns. For instance, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God is a sermon in its nuances. So singing hymns becomes a way of proclaiming the gospel, because the word of God is at work.
So they're there singing hymns, and here comes this earthquake you mentioned just a moment ago.
Yes.
Powerful enough earthquake to shake the foundations of the jail itself. And it doesn't just do that. It opens all of the doors, or it says immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. That's now ordinary earthquake.
No, particularly in verse 24, as you already noted, Todd, they were put into the inner prison, and they were also put into stocks. Now, those went around their ankles, and not only in those days were those stocks fastened tightly, but they were very painful. Those also were opened, and you can understand then the jailer who thought that, oh boy, everybody has escaped, knew he would be executed, so he was about to kill himself.
They approach him. He fears that he's, like you said, he's good. None of these prisoners are going to stick around.
No.
And when Paul approaches him, it says, Paul cried out in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here. Everyone's free to go.
Yes.
No one's left."
That's correct. Yeah, that's very unusual. And I think it's because these people, having heard the gospel being sung by Paul and Silas, and then this earthquake, they recognized that there was something here far more greater than just a common earthquake, because an earthquake wouldn't necessarily unloosen everyone's bonds. Remember, they were in stocks, and earthquakes don't do that without maybe, you know, really hurting your leg or something. But the fact that they were unloosened, there's something else going on here, and you can understand why they stayed around.
So this also is obviously leaving this impression upon the jailer that this is no ordinary earthquake where just a door pops open or something.
Yes.
It sounds like what he is talking about is not just how do I keep from being killed by my commander for letting all you guys escape in the middle of the night.
Yes. Yeah, he says very clearly in verse 30, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, the word "save" there is the word used to save in salvation. It also can mean to be healed, etc. But I believe it is really talking about salvation because he's heard the words, but he's confused, much like others were confused, like the rich man, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" etc., etc. It's very important that we understand that when Paul and Silas says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household," there's not a period there. Well, there is a period, but it really isn't a period, because the very next phrase, "and they spoke the word of the Lord to him." So that is absolutely true, that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. But nobody can do that until they hear the word of the Lord. And that's where I commend the growing in Christ, where it makes it very clear that the word of God was even more powerful than the experience of an earthquake.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We'll take a break, and when we come back, another 10 minutes with him, teaching a Sunday school lesson on Paul and Silas in prison in Acts chapter 16. Pastor Tom Baker hosts a radio show called Law and Gospel, and you'll find a link to Law and Gospel right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand.
We're going to take a look at the ecclesiastical model employed by much of American evangelicalism today, especially as put forward by the seeker-driven movement.
Chris Roseborough talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
We're going to take a look at where this idea of a vision-casting leader comes from, what its main tenets are, and we're going to compare that so-called ecclesiastical office to the biblical office of pastor, to see if the two are actually synonymous and interchangeable, or if this concept of a vision-casting leader actually turns a pastor into a false prophet.
You can meet and hear Chris Roseborough making the case against vision-casting leaders in the church June 19th and 20th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. the Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference.
Grace, Faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps. Folks, we've had just today, 7 more registrations for the Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference coming up next month. That brings us very close to the 300 mark for this summer's conference. Attendance is limited to 400, so you want to register for the Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference. If you do, you'll be able to hear Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Dr. David Menton, Dr. Paul Meyer, Pastor Chris Rosebrough, Pastor Jonathan Fisk, and Pastor Will Whedon, all there at the same conference. Registration is $100. It includes meals Friday night and Saturday afternoon and evening. Child care is provided for $35 per child, also includes those 3 meals. You can find out more about the Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference Friday, June the 19th and Saturday, June 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. That's about 15 miles east of St. Louis. At our website, issuesetc.org. You can also contact Craig, give him a call, 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, or send him an email, craig@issuesetc.org, craig@issuesetc.org. It's the Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference, about a month away. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, Paul and Silas in Prison, in Acts chapter 16. I wanted you to emphasize something that you mentioned before the break, and that is, it is not as though he asks a question, they give him the answer, and then he takes the appropriate action. You said when Paul speaks the word of the Lord to him, this is the means by which the faith that the man could not have is given to him. Is that what you were saying?
Yes. There's no doubt that those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. But the word belief doesn't mean that you believe he existed or that he was crucified or that he rose from the dead. The word belief is a trust in the promises connected to those historical events. Now, if you don't hear the promises, it's impossible to properly have saving faith to believe in the Lord Jesus. And that's why, once he answers his question with an answer, it's kind of like what Peter did. The people said at the Pentecost sermon, what can we do to be saved? And then Peter tells them something they can't do. Namely, be baptized. It's a passive. It's not something that they do as an action. It's something that God does to them. And in the same way, when it's like me saying to my child, my child comes up to me, he's 5 years old, he says, Dad, I want a bicycle. And I said, no problem, go get a job at General Motors, and within a week you'll be able to buy it. Well, that is absolutely true, but it's absolutely impossible for him to do. Similarly, when they answer, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, apart from the Holy Spirit working through the Word, it's impossible for him to come to faith. And that's why verse 32 is the most important word. And they spoke word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house, after which they were baptized. This is how somebody comes to faith in Jesus Christ, not by commanding them to believe, because it's impossible to do that, but by giving them the Word of God so the Holy Spirit creates faith.
And it says it's not just for him, it is for him and his house. They speak of the Word of the Lord to him and to his whole household, and later in the text, he is baptized along with his whole household. What should we note there, Tom?
Verse 34 says that he, that's the jailer, rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. Now, isn't that interesting? The whole family is glad because of his faith. Why? Because if that faith hadn't been there, then they wouldn't have heard the word of God. So in a sense, we ought to rejoice that our pastors believe in the word of God, because then when they get in the pulpit, they proclaim Christ and him crucified in such a way that many more can come to faith.
What's the rest of the story here, the last five verses or so? How does the story come to an end?
Well, what happens, the magistrates find out that they're Roman citizens, and they ask them to be let go, send the police. But Paul says to them, they've beaten us publicly, uncondemned men who are Roman citizens. They threw us in prison, and they now want to get rid of all this secretly? No. Let them come and take us out. And I'll tell you, verse 39, every time you read it, it's just amazing. So the magistrates came and apologized to them. And they took them out and asked them to leave the city. They went and visited Lydia. And then when they had seen the brothers who encouraged them, they did depart. That is amazing that even the magistrates. Now, their apology, of course, was out of fear, because they were in big trouble if the authorities found out that they had beaten Roman citizens. They had the right to beat normal individuals, but Roman citizens, you had to go through a court trial.
Now, we can't fail to see here that kind of what they meant for ill, God works toward good in the case of Paul and Silas. They leave Philippi, having preached the word of God to an entire household there, including the people beforehand, Lydia's house. But they also are released from prison by the very men who threw them in there.
Yes, and they recognize that. They see the hand of God at work. In other words, God keeps his promises to them. I was quite a bit helpful with Chris Ann in my program this morning. She was talking to a good friend of hers who's an unbeliever, and she recognized that he was always basing his understanding on his experience. I mean, why does God do this? He wanted answers, and she was basing her trust on the word of God. I think that's one of the most important things you can do. Imagine if some of the children, they confess Christ, or they're talking against the immorality, and then people make fun of them, and they're going to wonder, well, where is God? Well, they're not yet put in prison. They're not yet beaten up. And what happens is not only, and I would say the Philippian jailer's family, but also many of those other prisoners who heard the word of God. You just don't understand how God operates in this life. But when you sit back and look back, sometimes it becomes clear to you. But even when it doesn't, I think the main point for the Sunday school teachers here is to help the children to understand, don't rely on your experience or what's happening in your life to know how God looks to you. Rely instead on the promises in the word of God.
You know, with about a minute here, Tom, you and I might not face this. Maybe we will, but it seems increasingly likely that even in America founded on religious freedom, that our children, our grandchildren, will certainly face the prospect of real prison for confessing Christ.
Well, we're already seeing that in Canada. I just got a wonderful editorial. It's a lengthy article I'm going to be talking about it on Wednesday, of two children of homosexual parents who are just devastated by the homosexual lifestyle and being members. You know, God puts in the natural order of having a male and a female as a father and a mother. And when that is missing, this article I'm going to be talking about shows all the terrible things that can happen when we don't follow the natural orders of creation. And there are pastors in Canada who are being fined and imprisoned for speaking out against this immorality. It's already happening.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, Tom will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Paul sailing for Rome in Acts chapter 27. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
Well, thank you, Todd.
We base our conversations with Pastor Tom Baker on a Sunday school curriculum that he's mentioned several times here in the last half hour, Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House. It is Christ-centered and cross-focused. It is one that does not extol the great virtues of the apostles, but of Christ's ability to save sinners, apostles included, and all others, through the power of his word. It keeps Christ at the center and his cross as the focus. You can find out more about Growing in Christ at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House anytime during regular business hours and ask them for a free sample of Growing in Christ. They'll send it to you. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to have Pastor Ted Giese review Episodes 5 and 6 of the TV miniseries A.D. The Bible Continues. Does it continue to deviate from the book of Acts? We'll find out tomorrow. We'll continue our Responding to Evangelical Proof Text series, talking with Pastor Brian Wolf Miller about Revelation chapter 20, and we'll look forward to Sunday morning. According to the one-year set of readings for Sunday morning, Pastor David Peterson will be our guest. You notice what Christ, through his word, continues to do, whether it be there in the middle of the night outside a jail cell, or whether it is in the home of the jailer or among the people of Philippi. Through his word, he continues to grant faith to unbelieving, sinful hearts, as he does even today, growing his church. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoota, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming. Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana. Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.